Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Bethany Kelly, your host for Amazing Authors and Brilliant Books. With me today is our leading lady, Liz Goodgold with Red Fire Branding. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
And our topic today, what we are talking about, is how to build your brand and business with a book. Now, Liz Goodgold is a three-time author. She has three books to her credit, one of which is called Red Fire Branding. And she really understands what goes on when it comes to writing, and I cannot wait to find out from her what her experience has been and what she can share with us. So, Liz, thank you so much for being here on the call with us. We really appreciate it, and I'm so excited to hear from you. You know, my first question is, you chose to self-publish your last book, and as if I understand correctly, the first two books were traditionally published, and your last one was self-published. I'm so curious why you chose what you did and what the reasons were behind that.
Sure. It's a really complicated decision, but for me, it was easy. The reason being is that I use my book not only as an advanced business card, as many authors would, but I also use it as a packaging technique. So let me be clear. If I'm going off to give a speech, for example, at Fox Studios, let's say I say it's X thousands of dollars for me to speak for them, which is true. What I love about being a self-published author is that I bundle it. So let's say it's $5,000 and it includes 100 books, or it's $5,000 and it includes 25 books. Because I've self-published, I don't run into the problem that many other authors do, which is that they only get $1.25 or $2.50 royalty. Plus, they have to buy their books at an inordinate cost. So I'm able to buy my own books at cost, which is often $2 to $3, and bundle them with the value. And don't forget, when we talk about brands, it's always about perceived value. So self-publishing was the perfect balance for me between building my brand and collecting on revenue.
That's fabulous. And what motivated your decision to go traditionally published the first round? Why is it a good idea for someone to go the traditionally published route?
Sure, but let's not forget, and I'm sure you're well aware, that the whole publishing world has changed. And even I used
Absolutely.
To be an editor. So I was at Macmillan Publishing and Times Mirror as a business editor, for goodness sakes. But in those mm-hmm. days, your only avenue was traditional publishing. Right, the big publishing houses had all of the power. Today, what you really find is that publishing houses have the distribution channel. So if you self-publish, it's really hard to get your book on the very few shelves that remain. So even if you do a distribution deal, and we could talk about that later, but suffice it to say that if you self-publish, the chances of you getting on the bookshelf are between slim and none. So going
right.
traditional means that you are available, that, yes, the publishing house puts a little bit of effort towards your marketing. The publishing house at least has you on their list, and you get what we call co-branding, which means you build your brand on the coattails of another brand like Random House, Little Brown, Penguin, etc., Wiley. So the whole concept, so there's a few things going on. Publishing, of course, has changed. And second is a traditional publisher is really giving you legitimacy. It is not
mm-hmm.
a revenue-building opportunity most of the time. So even if you're one of those few people who get, woohoo, on a business book, a $5,000 or even a $10,000 advance, you're still not going to make much money at the end of the year. But it does give you the credibility to build upon that, to get more visibility, right? We talk about the three-tiered stool where you need visibility, credibility to get to profitability. You get all of those firing. And if you really want to do media, which is one of my favorite techniques, having a mainstream publisher means you get to go on mainstream media. Self-published typically means you're forbidden from going on bookshelves and you're forbidden from going on traditional media.
Right. So, you know, when you're talking about profitability, and I know you're a very astute businesswoman, how have your books helped your business? Because I know that you're not going to invest in something that you're not going to get the return on investment. And a lot of authors worry about this when they're thinking about investing in the book, whether they're investing time and energy or money or any of that. Getting their book done is, no matter how you look at it, an investment of time, energy, and in most cases, money. So you want to have a solid plan for a return on investment. And I know you've done really well with that. And I'd love to hear from you how the book has helped your business.
Sure. So I mentioned the one technique, which is I'm able to use it for bundling. The second is I'm able to use that as the platform and gives me permission upon which to speak. So as most people know, I'm pretty much known as the branding expert, right? Everything I do, build your brand, personal brand, et cetera. Well, when I did my third book, How to Speak Gooder, you can obviously see that, wait a minute. How does she have legitimacy to speak on this topic? Well, that's one of the secret values of book writing, which is because I wrote a book based upon how many speeches I've given and how many people that I've coached, How to Speak Gooder gave me permission and an entirely new revenue stream I didn't have before. Mm-hmm. So whereas it's still a little bit new wave, if you will, and new age to go into companies and talk about how to build a personal brand, virtually every company today has a program called presentation skills or communication skills, and you can see how to speak gooder fits perfectly into a pre-existing program. So all of a sudden, I could go into the mainstream players and the big-name companies and say, wait a minute, that way of teaching speaking is so 1999. Let me come in and share with you how to do it in the digital age. And that's what I was able to do. So it opened up an entirely new market. And so writing a book gives you instant credibility. And that is what's so important. Because if you're starting out as a new entrepreneur and you're sitting there, well, wait a minute, how do I build my credibility? I don't have a huge client list. I don't have case studies to talk about. Well, guess what? If you have some really good theories and strategies and practices that work and you put in a book, voila. You now have the credibility to do more of what you love to do.
Fabulous. I love it. And so what has been your actual, you know, what tangible results could you say that you've gotten from having your book, for example, your last book?
I did. I got the gig to, I can't say how many times I went into Warner Brothers and did presentations on how to speak gooder. I did a whole program on killer good first impressions, which in my world is a combination of speaking, personal branding, and networking. So I created a program that's really all three of my books. I had competency in all three areas, and I got to go in and do custom programs at very, very high fees. It also got me on stages that I never would have before gotten on. It also gave me permission to do media. I mean, I did some publicity at the beginning of this year. This is 2016. And I talked about the branding of the candidates. I talked about Carly Fiorito's speaking habits. I talked about Obama's speaking cadence and why it works. So having that book gave me permission to talk about things that otherwise I really didn't have permission to talk about.
Well, I love that. And I love that in everything that you're saying here today. Nowhere have you said, oh, I've sold thousands of copies of the book and I've made so much money that way.
No,
and I think that's a misconception that people think as an author that is what success is. They're going to sell thousands and thousands of copies and make lots of money. And I love how every bit of success that you've had has been related to your business. The book has supported that, has supported your business, and it has opened opportunities.
It completely has. And so, I mean, I would wager that I haven't sold more than 300 books on Amazon. That is the ultimate truth. But I have probably made upwards of $50,000 from this book. Okay? This is what people need to understand. And further, because of my own speaking ability, I coach other speakers on how to really launch a professional speaking career. So having that book has given people who are not yet ready to invest in coaching with me something to purchase. It's given me something to bundle, because as you really get into this business, you realize that even selling a $20 book makes it really hard to pay your mortgage. So I created... So what I do is I've used that book as the anchor upon which to build and surround myself with other products and services in terms of speaking. So I offer speaking coaching. I offer a speaking boot camp. I create online courses. I have a flash drive. So do you follow me? So it's just different ways to offer the same information. So that people who are saying, gosh, I really want to speak better, whether you're an entrepreneur, an aspiring speaker, or an employee, you can really get value depending upon where you are in your career.
Fabulous. So, you know, Liz is an expert in branding, and in case any of our listeners want to reach out to you after the show or need help with personal branding, how would you like our listeners to contact you?
Well, I always love email, which in some way, I think it's funny because people think it's old school, but of course, redfirebranding.com works, liz@redfirebranding.com. And for anyone listening who is an avid tweeter, go ahead and find me on Twitter, @LizGoodgold, and I promise that I will respond and answer any questions there. So really easy peasy, @LizGoodgold.
Fabulous. And I also want to plug your book, because it's a very it's a tremendous book. You will get a lot of information on how to speak gooder, how to plan for the unexpected in speeches, how to create a title for your speech, how to set up your speech. I mean, it's just chock full of fabulous information. It's also a very interesting read, a lot of stories, a lot of fabulous information. You can find this book on Amazon, correct? Or do you have another place you would like people to go?
No, we love Amazon. Make life easy.
They certainly do. So I want to ask you this question, and I'm curious about this, because you've written a book and you have given so much information in this book. I've read it. It's a virtual gold mine of information for what you need to know when you're speaking. Yeah, it is. That's exactly what it is. Do you ever feel like you've spilled all your secrets into the book and then now there's no reason for anyone to hire you?
Well, it's just so funny because I get that all the time. Because in the book, for example, I literally tell you step by step how to create a book title. Okay? I tell you how to create a speaking title. I tell you the 18 elements of every single speech. Everything, the whole enchilada is there. And you know what? No matter how much I share with it and tell people, my phone rings, which says, I've read it all, but I'm stuck. And to me, the key takeaway is to remember that. It's almost as if the more you share, the more your readers recognize how bloody difficult it is, so they just say, can you do it for me?
Mm.
Or they realize, I mean, don't forget, every one of us has our core competency. Right, so someone reading my book might be the absolute best lawyer, engineer, et cetera. So they've read the whole thing, and you know what? I can't do it. I'm like, I'm an engineer. I can't figure out one creative way to create a sexy book title, Liz. Can I just pay you to do it? And I think people have to remember that, because I, like you, have heard so often, I can't write this book because then people can do it themselves. And the truth is, once you really explain what it takes to do what you do, your value goes up. It doesn't go down. Right? I can tell you all day long how to create a great brand name, right? And this is something you worked on, Bethany, right? It's hard.
That's right. You realize
you have to do your due diligence. You have to look at the patent trademark office. You have to look at domain issues. You have to look at misspellings. You have all of these steps until you go, wow, it's really hard to create a brand name. She's told me how to do it. But at some point, you still need that original spark of creativity. And if you don't have it, you can't get it done.
Amazing.
So
I do.
I just, if I only had one thing for people to walk away with from this interview, it's this. You will not hurt your business by writing a book. In fact, if you plan it correctly with a revenue strategy in advance, you should quadruple your revenues based upon a book, because it grows their coaching, your consulting, and your speaking business exponentially.
I love it. Now, you were talking just a minute ago about creating a book title or titles, you know, titles for speeches and all of that. And I know that you are amazing at coming up with titles. And you came up with a great title for, well, you have a great title for all of your books. I want to talk a little bit about how to get a good book title. You know, it's not easy to do. And if you're willing to share some of your expertise with our listeners, what, in your opinion, makes a good book title? And how do you test it? Like, what are some of your secrets?
Sure. So what I always like to have, and everyone has to have, a book title and a subtitle. And you have two choices. Every book title has to have a full frontal part of it. Full frontal for me means what you see is what you get. So it can be either the title or the subtitle, but at some point the full frontal has to be, what do I get? And it has to contain the magic SEO word for your topic. So follow me for a moment. So that means if, for example, I'm looking at a book on speaking, it has to at some point have the magic word public speaking in it, because that is the category upon which both Amazon and even at Barnes & Noble would shelve your book, and they have to know. If they don't know where to shelve your book or to categorize your book, it gets shelved nowhere. So I like to have a sexy component and then the full frontal component. So the sexy is something that you always want someone to do a head whip, right? Look good naked. Love the title. Woe is I, okay? And then the second part is always the joy of X, right? I love the joy of X. Advanced mathematical techniques anyone can master, right? So you realize it's going to get shelved under math. So what we're talking about, and if we look at just those three titles as an example, you can see a few things in effect. One is, these are what I call left-turn marketing. You think I'm going to say the joy of sex, and instead it's the joy of X. So that is a tried-and-true technique. You're doing something, your mouth and your brain is going down one path, and then you take a big left turn and you go the other direction.
Right.
And you can look at examples like this, Southwest Airlines, for example. You are now free to move around the, you think they're going to say cabin, but they say country. That's another example of left-turn marketing, right? Woe is me. You expect it to be woe is me. Instead, it's woe is I. So these are little twists, or left-turn marketing is what I call it, that make a head whip effect, which gets you to the next step, which is flawless recall. When it comes to book titles, you have to remember that more people remember titles than authors. So therefore, you really want to have a good, sexy title. And so either in the title or the subtitle, you tell people what they're really going to get. So every single book title has to have the benefit, the result, or the experience from reading the book. If it's not there, it won't sell. It's really important. Every book has to have a benefit or result, or it won't sell. Here's another book. I'm just looking at my bookshelf right now, for example. Real Leaders Don't Do PowerPoint. Love Chris Witt. But the subtitle, How to Sell Yourself and Your Ideas. So what's the benefit? How to sell yourself and your ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Other techniques is, I love the numbers game. So numbers games are simple things like 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, 301 Do-It-Yourself Marketing Ideas, right? So what are you going to get from 301 marketing ideas? I think you're going to get 301 marketing ideas. And then the subtitle is to grow your business from the best small companies. So what's the benefit?
Yeah.
Grow your business. So when everyone who's thinking about coming up with book title, and I see tons of them cross my desk, and, hey, Liz, does this work? What I usually see is they never have two components. They either have the sexy part or they have the full frontal, but they don't have the good connection between the two.
Yeah, and that is really important because the sexy part gets your attention and the other part gives you the information, and if one is missing, you really only have half the pie.
Exactly. So here's another author that I worked with, for example. I love this title. His title is Don't Take Dieting Advice from a Skinny Person.
Great title.
Okay, but see, you don't really know. You know it would be dieting, but then here comes the subtitle, which is the benefit or result. So here's the other part. Dr. Alok's Guide to Overcoming Food Addiction and the Benefit and Finally Losing Weight.
Yeah.
So you see, if you didn't have the second part, you didn't know what you're going to get. Otherwise, it just could be, oh, wait, here's theoretical. Don't take dieting advice from a skinny person.
Exactly.
So that's another one of those things that I just really, really like. Make sure that you have that subtitle. I mean, here's another one, and I'll just pull a few from them. Like, here's a fun, See Jane Lead, right? Again, left turn marketing. You think she's going to say, See Jane Run, right?
Right.
And then Dr. Lois Frankel, love her, I've done programs with her, has things, 99 ways for women to take charge at work. So what's the benefit? Oh, I'm going to learn how to take charge at work.
Yeah. Fantastic.
So when it comes to going book titles, you really want to make sure you have the benefit, the result, or the experience. And if you do not have those three elements in the book title, as well as the golden SEO, right, what is the topic, how will people search for me, then your book title has failed.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple.
Now, people can work with you if they want to come up with a killer book title or a killer speech title or a killer brand, right?
Exactly. I've done tons and tons and tons of them. And what I also look at is, again, for a book title, to really see where the person wants to go. So sometimes when I create a book title, I'm creating it knowing full well that I'm not writing a book title, I'm building an empire. So, for example, if I were working with Jack Canfield, you can see that it was Chicken Soup for the Soul, right? Then it was Chicken Soup for the Poet Soul, Chicken Soup for the Teenage Soul, Chicken Soup for the Chicken Soul.
Right.
And what's great about that is it has a built-in hierarchy, or what we call a brand architecture, right? We know the next book is going to be called Chicken Soup for the, right? So it has really that, and even though this is sort of a fine line with weird law, book titles cannot be copyrighted, by the way. And
that's good
movie
for
titles, which
to know.
Is why, yeah, most people kind of get that wrong. But if there is other products associated with it, it can. So, of course, Jack Canfield really does own Chicken Soup because it's also a coaching program. It's a whole empire of his.
Right.
So one of the things that I do like is to see where you want to go so that you can create other books coming out. So when I work with Lisa Burns on Kitchenability, and we created that brand name, Kitchenability, and it was 101 ways to for college students to create easy cooking, right? Well, you could see that it could be Kitchenability 101, 201, 301, right? Because if you're still targeting college students, that nomenclature, or what we call that naming architecture, still remains in place.
Yes.
And so that's something that we always like to think. Go ahead.
No, that's such good information. Thank you, Liz. I really appreciate it. And, you know, one thing I'm wondering, would you be willing to share with our audience a little bit about your experience of writing the book? You know, you've done three now. So, like, what would you say is the best part and the most challenging part? Or what part did you enjoy the most? Or what part was the most challenging? Or what advice might you have for an aspiring author who is facing the somewhat daunting task of writing their book?
First thing I would tell you is spit it out as fast as you can. The longer you wait, the more painful it is. Second part of that, and it's a corollary to that, is do whatever it takes to get the first draft out of your system. As you know, Bethany, I call it my approach the vomitorium. Spit it out as fast as you can. because it's always, and you're so great at this, you can always do a first draft and then get an edit, or if you need a real good manuscript editor to overhaul it. But no mm-hmm. one and nothing can be done until we get that first draft out of you. So if you are working on a book or thinking about a book, it's time to make the pledge today to go from, I'm thinking of writing a book, I'm going to write a book, to writing the book. I love that. Second thing I always recommend is go away. You're probably aware that in each of my three books, I did the first draft in 3 days. I go away, I lock myself in a room, and this is what I do. Whew. The longer that your book, the longer that your book sort of languishes, the more you learn to hate your book and you just want to be done, not that you want it to be good. And that's a horrible feeling. You know how everyone talks about it?
Oh, good. Yeah, like as an author, you don't want to get to the end of the book and be like, to the end of the process of writing your book and be like, oh my God, I never want to see that book again. You want this book to be a support to you in your life and business. You don't want to hate it so much that by the time you're done, you never want to see it again.
Exactly, and people forget that. And I do, and I mean, I am working with someone who I adore, and she's writing a book up in L.A. called Leadership Hollywood Style. I adore this book, and all I keep telling her is, faster is better. And then you can see, you know, Leadership Hollywood, it's going to be an amazing, killer, good book. Our co-author is from the Oscars. Is that you can see, come February, when the Oscars are on for 2017, they can be all over the news. This is hot.
Yeah.
It's current. It's relevant. The media will lap it up. So the only thing is, please get it out. Get it out as fast as possible. So it's sort of a no excuses. And to me, the faster you get it on paper, you can then hire someone to be your copy editor. You do a great job of manuscript editing, and there's a huge difference between those two, right? Copy editing is like
That's
you have
right.
your commas in the right place. Or manuscript editing, you're really making it more beautiful and rewriting topics, but you understand what their goal was.
Right.
And
right,
without
exactly.
a first draft, I can't help you. So that, to me, would be my number one advice. Move from, I'm going to write a book, to start writing the book. Second part is write it as fast as possible. And the third, I don't care, go lock yourself in a room and do it. There are, also, I mean, you hear all the time programs, you know, write your book in a day, write your book in a weekend. Are they blowing smoke? No. Do it. This is the best life-changing. I mean, for you, and even if, you know, and I talk, and that's a whole other program I do on speaking and rainmaking speaking versus paid speeches. So
uh-huh.
the idea is, of course, so even if I'm just doing a rainmaker speech, I mean, I have 3 books, audio products, coaching books. I have all of that to sell in the back of the room. If you're doing a rainmaker speech and the only thing you have to sell is a $10,000 coaching program, it's really hard to get people to get a good, free, easy, simple taste of you before they invest $10,000 when you don't have any $20 items.
That's right. That's right. Well,
and
wow.
And you cannot forget. Yeah, go ahead. You can't forget the information.
We could continue talking on this topic for a couple of hours, I'm certain. But we are hitting time. So we're going to have to wrap this up today. Liz, thank you so much for being our leading lady. Thank you for being so generous with everything that you've shared with our listeners. We really appreciate it. And
of course,
a special thanks to all our – sorry, go ahead.
I said, of course, love it, love it.
Oh, thank you. And a special thanks to all our listeners. We'll be back next Monday at 9 a.m. with another leading lady, as we are every Monday. Thank you for listening to Women Lead Radio. Please keep reading, keep writing, and never forget the power of the written word. I'm Bethany Kelly, host of Amazing Authors and Brilliant Books, signing off.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.